Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets. If you don't win your first bet, that's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
My name is Ariel. I moved to the U.S. at 19. I spoke no English and I struggled finding job opportunities. Everything I have, I owe to the Adult Literacy Center and getting my high school diploma at age 22.
It was an honor helping you achieve your greatness. Now you're helping others achieve theirs. It inspires me.
When you graduate, they graduate. Find free and supportive adult education centers near you at finishyourdiploma.org. Brought to you by Dollar General Literacy Foundation and the Ad Council.
As the number one audio company, iHeartMedia gives you access to all. Every audience, live conversations, trusted influencers, and the insights and data you need to grow. iHeartMedia is your access company. Go to iHeartResults.com for more.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to another episode of Inside the Studio on iHeartRadio. My name's Jordan Runtog, but enough about me. My guest today is a piano prodigy and, for my money, a genius of the human soul. I feel like I may have inadvertently stolen that honorific, but it doesn't make it any less true. Her seminal 1992 solo debut, Little Earthquakes, was forged from the searing pain of feeling simultaneously ostracized from and wounded by the environment of her upbringing. In channeling her fears and rage, she gave voice to those struggling to find themselves and their place in the world, and offered hope for redemption. Her latest album, due out October 29th, took form amid an equally tempestuous emotional maelstrom. Called Ocean to Ocean, it's a musical message in a bottle, written during enforced isolation in her adopted home of Cornwall, England, amid the COVID-19 lockdown. Grappling with the global crisis, political turmoil in her home country, and the recent death of her mother, she took solace in the songs, which are among the most soul-bearing of her career. Whether she's using words or music, or speaking to human beings, trees, or the metaphysical beings she refers to as her muses, her skill for communicating strength and vulnerability remains undiminished and unparalleled. I'm so happy to welcome Tori Amos.
I don't even know where to begin. I mean, your new album is absolutely astonishing. I guess my first question for you is, the last year and a half has changed just in so many ways. How has it changed your relationship to music, or has it?
Well, I guess I was writing a different type of record if you were going to talk to me over a year ago. And well over a year ago, so a year and a half ago. But then it seemed as if the energy of those songs, that wasn't where I wanted to go anymore. It wasn't going to take me. It wasn't my sonic rocket ship that was going to take me into a different, I'm saying the word frequency, but just a different magical space that I wanted to be in. And so the new songs kind of started coming in a strange way, because I just said to the muses, I need something different. And then they said, well, then you have to walk away from the old, hand it over, and then be receptive to the new and write from where you are right now, which is you're grieving. So start there. And let's see what happens. And that was really the beginning with Metal, Water, Wood.
What is it about songwriting that makes it such an effective method for processing emotions and also pulling you out of those dark places?
Ooh. Well, I think songwriting can be a very lonely place to be. It can be a place where you have to kind of confront things, confront your part in things, look at sides to yourself that you might not really want to look at. And then you begin framing. Then you begin thinking, okay, so how do we want to tell this story? I understand some of the components, some of the emotions, but then how do we want to convey this? Because we can bring characters in, we can bring people in, some that we know, some that are composites of people we know, so that we tell the story. And then you're making choices all along. This is when you get out your skill set and your toolbox and your sonic paints, and you start then really forming this and working with structure. And sometimes, you find that you're not crazy about that verse. You like maybe the middle eight, but you're not crazy about the verses. So maybe you keep this bit. And what happens is I come to the studio and I show Mark, who I've been working with for a long time now in the studio. I happen to be married to him. And we've been making records since Boys for Pele in 1995 together. And I'll show the song, and then that'll be the beginning of, okay, where does this want to go?
You've mentioned communing with the muses, how you write your work. How much control do you have over the process when you write? How much of it is thinking versus stepping back and kind of getting out of the way and letting it come through?
That's a good question. Sometimes it seems like it's a paradox, because on one hand, you're trying to listen to what's coming through. It feels sort of like you're being zapped, but zapped in a good way. and then I record that and then listen back. So sometimes it's a stream of consciousness. And then in the listening back, I start to try and figure out, okay, what is Boulder Dash and what is worth working with and what should I throw away, because it was just getting me from one place to another during this stream of consciousness type of session.
Have you ever finished a song and listened to it back and learned something else about yourself from it, almost like a really good dream analysis or something?
Sometimes it's horrifying what you learn about yourself. Oh my God.
Why is that?
Well, because I think if you're honest, then you can kind of, yes, you can have a chuckle, but then you go, oh, I'm a bit mortified that I don't know that I responded in a certain way. Or I think sometimes there's, you know, gallows humor. The Brits are very good at that. And I have been surrounded by Brits, my friend. They are everywhere, because I've sort of been in exile here in England for 18 months. And the funny thing, though, about the Brits is that they're at their best, and I've said this for a long time, when I think things are at their worst. They find a way, they go to their humor. That's what they turn to as a culture, is their humor. And when things are good, like if it's a beautiful sunny day and maybe it's like 95 degrees, within 2 hours, Brits are going to complain to you, I'm boiling. It's so bloody hot. And it's never going to be, okay, this is going to last a long time. So I think they are more comfortable when they're being challenged. And I think their humor did help me through this time. There's no question about it. And I have no idea what I'm saying to you. I'm just rambling.
Oh, you know, it's funny because what you said to me really resonated with me, because as I was listening to your album, for some reason, the Churchill quote popped into my head. If you're going through hell, keep going. And that was something that really, that struck me while listening to your music. I mean, it's something I've always loved about your music, is your honesty and your vulnerability. And so much about Ocean to Ocean is your willingness to sort of, you give us permission to sort of not be okay. And because in the last year and a half, we've all had those moments when we haven't been okay. And you've been willing to sort of meet us in that place with these songs. And I think that that's so valuable and precious right now, because I think that's something we all need. We all need that kind of compassion.
I do think we need compassion. You're spot on right there. And sometimes I think it's like gold. When somebody has, it just holds a space, for you to be where you are in that moment. And the record wanted to do that. It wanted to also reflect what I was getting from the earth. Once I started going outside, and it was cold and it was the winter, and it was, and you know Cornwall, so you know what that can be like. Even though it's beautiful, it can be really traumatic and freezing and wet and all those things. But at the same time, it was invigorating. It was like, okay, so we've been under house arrest, and yet Mother Earth is regenerating. And at the same time, dealing with a huge crisis with the fires on the West Coast in the States and with the flooding in Europe and other places. And yet in Cornwall, it seemed to be her finding the balance going from winter into spring. And I watched that evolution happening before my eyes, really seeing the change that happened and the transformation and things being reborn again. So there was a death that was happening. And that's something that I was going through. I was having to let songs go and let my mom, you know, go, except that she has passed to the other side. And yet now step into the rebirth energy. And that's quite, you know, it's a process. And the whole album is really exploring that process.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. That's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
AI might be the most important new computer technology ever. It's storming every industry, and literally billions of dollars are being invested. So buckle up. The problem is that AI needs a lot of speed and processing power. So how do you compete without costs spiraling out of control? It's time to upgrade to the next generation of the cloud. Oracle Cloud Infrastructure, or OCI. OCI is a single platform for your infrastructure, database, application development, and AI needs. OCI has 4 to 8 times the bandwidth of other clouds, offers one consistent price instead of variable regional pricing, and of course, nobody does data better than Oracle. So now you can train your AI models at twice the speed and less than half the cost of other clouds. If you want to do more and spend less like Uber, 8x8, and Databricks Mosaic, take a free test drive of OCI at oracle.com/strategic. That's oracle.com/strategic. oracle.com/strategic.
Hi there, I'm Bob Pittman, Chairman and CEO of iHeartMedia. Welcome to Math and Magic, Stories from the Frontiers of Marketing. This week, I'm talking to acclaimed musician and entrepreneur, Mr. Worldwide himself, Pitbull.
A lot of artists in general, people that are very creative, sometimes tend to overthink. That's one of my number one rules. Don't ever overthink. You can think ahead, but don't overthink. And what I mean by that is when they start to write a record, they're like, oh, that's not the line. Oh, that's not this. Oh, it's not that. And everybody has a creative process. I'm not knocking it. For me, I just let it flow.
In these exciting times, we're looking to the math, the strategy and analytics, and the magic, the creative spark, more than ever. Listen to Math and Magic on our very own iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcast, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I mean, I got the impression that your mother is a major presence on the album. In the first single you released, Speaking with Trees, I think it hits anybody who has dealt with loss, which unfortunately is, you know, pretty much all of us. Intensely personal song, and it took me a moment to realize that the lyrics in it, which I thought were metaphors, were in fact very literal. Tell me more about that song. It's really, for me, it's one of my favorite tracks on the album.
Well, when I was going outside, it seemed as if I was guided to just sit and listen to the trees and the rhythm. And then at the same time, I started getting books and reading about how trees communicate with each other. There's a book out by Suzanne Simard. I hope I'm saying her name correctly, and if not, I apologize, because her book really talks about the network underneath the trees, made up of fungi. And again, I'm not a scientist, so I'm not going to explain this correctly. But how it made me feel was this amazing world, a lot of it underground, that is interconnected. And so just the alchemy of that, the alchemical idea, concept of what is really going on down there, got me all very excited and put me, I don't know, in a state of collaboration with nature and wanting to be a student of Earth Mother and watching her deal with everything at one time. And of course, that's the paradox that was going on there with the climate crisis happening in different countries around the globe, and then her rebirthing herself as well.
That must have been a really special, because I know traveling has been such a huge part of your life since, you know, you were, 13, on going on tour, and also you have your home in Florida, so kind of being on the move a lot, being stationary, while I'm sure is hard for a million different reasons, being able to sit and see that process take place that really requires you to be still must have been a nice silver lining of what I must, you know, imagine must being a very difficult time.
At first, I don't think my patience, I didn't have the amount of patience that I found I needed. In order to really observe, like we're talking about, I needed to discipline myself a bit and stop the chatter, the inner chatter that we all have, and really observe. You know, I've said before, listen with ears the size of Kansas. Really listen. And to do that, you have to stop the inner voices, the inner critic, the and that took some effort, if I'm honest with you. And it did take some time. It took time. And then I was going down to the little veg patch in the garden, and I really found that so rewarding. These things became huge joyful moments for me.
You know, there were some slightly less joyful moments with nature. I know you just released the song Spies the other day, which was about some uninvited winged guests coming into your home during lockdown. Can you tell me a little about the background of that song?
Yeah, the background. the the windows in the old farmhouse. So it's very hot. It was very hot in July, even hot for Britain. And that's an American telling you it's really hot. That's not just the Brits complaining about it's so hot. And you're kind of going, this is 60 degrees. Are you kidding me? But no, it was hot. So we had the windows open and the bats were getting in the house like in the middle of the night. And our daughter would be texting us. It's saying, there are bats. And then you'd hear this running around, patter upstairs. And so Tash camped out downstairs, not in her bedroom, but in the living room. And she was really not overjoyed with this bat situation. Now, why they didn't come find me, because I love bats. I adore them. But she does not. So I figured in order to get her back into her room, it took like almost 10 days.
Oh my God.
She needed a lullaby. But to write a lullaby for a 20, 21-year-old is very different than when I would write for a 6 and 7-year-old. So I thought, okay, let's listen to some drill and bass and let's make this happen. So they're benevolent beings from Cornwall to London, through the British Isles and Ireland, that are tracking the scheming meanies so that children can actually get to sleep at night and get some shut-eye.
It's a wonderful song. You mentioned earlier about the communication between trees and all the different ways that elements of nature communicate. I mean, bats with, you know, the ways that they communicate, and there's articles about how dolphins communicate and, you know, the secret life of plants and stuff. I want to ask you a question about communication. How much of your desire to write, your impetus to write, comes from a desire to communicate versus exercising something inside of you? If you were on a desert island somewhere, would you continue songwriting?
I don't know. Probably because I think it's a compulsion. It's something that wants to happen when it wants to happen. Now, my husband would like it to happen sooner than it happened this time. I mean, the words divorce, Tory were probably close to his lips and on his brain, because I was driving them all kind of mad. I was still writing while we were mixing. And that is something that you never want to put the musicians and the mixers through. That's for sure. But that's just what happened this time. That's just how it was, because he would be like, can't you make those muses move any faster? I said, you try. Good luck with that. They come when they come. They leave when they leave. And, you know, they don't need a passport. They show up when they want to show up. And I really know when they show up, because it's a totally different thing when they're around than when I'm doing it myself. I'm not kidding you about this. I'm not weaving a tale here. I can write a song a day. I don't think it's necessarily anything anybody should listen to. But when there's this collaboration happening, then kismet, something can happen that has a little sprinkle of magic to it.
Oh, I absolutely believe that. Is there an element of superstition in a way that, is there something that you can kind of do to coax them to come in, these muses, or is it purely on their own time?
They're not gullible. They're really not coaxing them. I think they know every trick that every songwriter has had for thousands of years, trying to get them to hurry up. So it's hard to fool them. And I think it's best to just surrender to it. And then you might find that they are there. I just have to listen a bit harder. I just have to still myself and be open. Because another thing to this is that sometimes they want to go somewhere that I'm resisting going there. Resisting, very different than the word resistance. I don't see the word resistance as a pejorative, which it gets used all the time. I mean, if we're saying, I have a resistance to creativity, well, then that is negative. But a resistance to tyranny, which is what, you know, I wrote the book Resistance about, that's a very different thing. So I've had to monitor, am I being open to where they want to go? Or am I digging my heels in because I want them to go somewhere else? Well, then if I need to surrender, and surrendering, they know when you're just pretending to surrender.
I mean, speaking of resistance, I think you've mentioned this before about being inspired by artists who use their medium, in this case, song, to reflect the time around them, people like Marvin Gaye, Nina Simone. Who are some people who did that for you, sort of pointed you in that direction of what you could use your art form for?
Wow. Well, you know, the late 60s was a time of huge revolution. I was having to relive it today for another conversation about 1968. And I was 5 at the time. And I just remember how music was affecting people, how songs were affecting people. I'd been accepted into the Peabody and the conservatory, the prep. And I was surrounded by teenagers. And I was watching how they were being motivated by this music, whether the Beatles, Marvin Gaye, Simon and Garfunkel, all the Motown artists, Aretha Franklin, yes, Nina Simone, and the list goes on of all the bands and artists that really, got a generation to stand up and question the Vietnam War. During that year, we lost Dr. Martin Luther King. He was killed. And we lost Robert Kennedy, who was killed. So it was such a time where music was crystallizing for me how important it was and what songs could do. It could start a whole new, well, revolution, really. And that's what it did.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with a king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. That's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
Hi there, I'm Bob Pittman, Chairman and CEO of iHeartMedia. Welcome to Math and Magic, Stories from the Frontiers of Marketing. This week, I'm talking to acclaimed musician and entrepreneur, Mr. Worldwide himself, Pitbull.
A lot of artists in general, people that are very creative, sometimes tend to overthink. That's one of my number one rules. Don't ever overthink. You can think ahead, but don't overthink. And what I mean by that is when they start to write a record, they're like, oh, that's not the line. Oh, that's not this. Oh, it's not that. And everybody has a creative process. I'm not knocking it. For me, I just let it flow.
In these exciting times, we're looking to the math, the strategy and analytics, and the magic, the creative spark, more than ever. Listen to Math and Magic on our very own iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcast, or wherever you get your podcast.
Check the backseat. Check the backseat.
All right, come here.
Check the backseat.
Gets in your head, right? Good. Because every year, dozens of children are forgotten in the backseat of a car by a parent or caregiver. All never thought it could happen to them. But with changes in routines, distractions, or a sleeping child, it can happen to anyone. Parked cars get hot, fast, and can be deadly. So get it in your head.
Check the backseat.
A message from NHTSA and the Ad Council.
I think I'm noticing over the course of our discussion, talking about music coming from inner life and then music coming from, you know, out in the world. Do you derive more inspiration from looking outward or looking inward?
I think that's the, for me, the key is finding the balance in that, because one begets the other. So observing, I would take pilgrimage a lot before this pandemic. I would go somewhere, wherever that was, the desert, wherever that was, I would go and observe, and my senses were different. And it just in doing that activity alone, you're breaking a pattern, you're breaking your own routine, which then puts you sort of in a different, it puts me anyway, in a different space of, okay, I'm in a different place where my senses now are heightened and I'm able to push myself into hearing and seeing and feeling different things. So when that wasn't offered, when that was off the table because of the restrictions that we've all been under, then I had to find other ways. And that has been a challenge, but it's also been really eye-opening, because this record wouldn't have happened without everything happening the way it happened in the last 18 months.
What were some ways that you challenged, you sort of take a trip mentally? I mean, was it through reading or meditation? What were some ways that in lieu of travel that you were able to take yourself out of your familiar mental space and try other things?
I'm going to be really honest with you. I am the crappiest person to meditate. You know, nobody wants to meditate with me. I'm antsy and a pain in the ass. It's just not what it's not what I do. However, hanging out, if somebody's lighting a fire outside and you're wrapped up in blankets and, Oliver, Tasha's boyfriend, puts on Oliver's tracks, and, you know, whether it's some great jazz that is being written by some of his friends or drill and bass, which he's a fan of, and he turned me on to that from the 90s. That's kind of how I roll. That's where I was traveling. That's how my imagination got fired up, is in having conversations and sharing music, Tash showing me documentaries, through different art forms. And then a whole new world starts to open up to me. How gardeners were approaching, you know, the veggie patch. That was a whole new world for me, because I do not have a green thumb. I would just go and sing to the tomatoes every day. So I was singing, I'd go down there and I'd sing. I'd talk to the plants, I sing to them. And I think they're making songs with me. In my mind, I have quite a relationship with the veg patch.
Oh, that's a real thing. I've absolutely heard about music therapy for plants that farmers and gardeners do. I've heard quite a lot of good things about that.
Yeah, well, I was taking my show down there, my repertoire, the new songs, I was testing them out on the squash and seeing how we were going. And then if the squash started to grow within a few days, I mean, sometimes the squash got really big, the pumpkins, and it was, okay, I think that song's a keeper.
I mean, that's a great response to your music. I mean, when you are playing for humans, I'll say, what is the best thing that you can hear from someone who's listened to your music? Is there a response that you can hear from somebody where you think to yourself, okay, I know all the pain that I went through and loss that went into this song,
but that response really made it worth it for me. Is there something anyone can say that can make you feel that?
Well, I have to tell you, I'm very fortunate to have people come to the shows that are open, that aren't really, you know, they're open to having an experience. They're open to traveling together and kind of saying, I don't know where we're going to go tonight, but you do need to know, Tori, that this happened in Chicago over the last week. So they're sort of informants. They're like boots on the ground, MI6, for me. That's my relationship with them. And so we then share this information, and then the show becomes collaborative. And so there isn't one saying that somebody can say, because honestly, I'm open to what they think. And the muses have always told me their response to a song is just as valid as your response. It just so happens you're part of the channeling process. But that doesn't mean that their relationship with the song isn't as valid as your relationship with the song. So why wouldn't you want to know what somebody's experience with a song is? I find it really fascinating when they talk to me about their relationship with a song.
What is your relationship like with your prior songs? Do you feel a sense of ownership over them, or are they, you know, sort of once you let them go, they're free to roam?
Oh, they're roaming, my friend. Are you kidding? You think I have any say over? No. They're out there doing what they're doing. And that's why the time before the mastering is finished, it is always bittersweet, because we're done, or we're almost done, and we know, okay, this is leaving Martian Engineering. This is leaving within 24 hours. And the mastering's done down here with John Astley, and I know it's going. And I kind of have this moment, this last little moment with the song gals, and I'll just tell them all goodbye and have a nice life. And some of them, you know, they go off with a vegan muffin. Some of them, there's always one with a bottle of tequila, trust me. And you just wave. I have a tear in my eye when they skip down the lane and pass the cows and the sheep and the tractor. And it's like, see you, T. And then they're gone. And then they're not mine anymore. And that is a moment where it's bittersweet, because you want to share them. You want them to have a life with other people. But kind of as their, I don't know, their gal pal, I have to hand them over and let them go.
Yeah, I mean, I hear many artists talk about their songs being their kids, and the kids have grown up and are going to make their way in the world now.
Yeah. No, I feel that.
It's funny, during the pandemic, I've derived a lot of solace from what I call musical comfort food, like music that I haven't listened to in 15, 20 years, and suddenly I find my way back to it. Have you been finding any other music therapeutic other than the act of writing it yourself? Has music comfort food been a thing for you?
Oh, yeah. In different ways. We talked about Oliver's tracks, which was, you know, a lot of it I had never heard before. So that was a new experience. But there was a moment when Mark and I went back and just traversed that Beatles catalog. I'm sure I'm not the only one that did that. because that music is what it is. And it has so many facets to it. Just getting lost in one of the albums at a time, just saying, okay, let's just really dive into this one for a few days. That's something that we did. I love doing that. I love revisiting certain catalogs.
Oh, I consider those albums friends of mine. I know that may sound funny, but those records, I don't know if you can see, I have a in-store advertisement for Rubber Soul framed on my wall behind me. They mean a great deal to me.
Yeah. Understood. Yeah, understood.
There was a quote you gave when you first announced Ocean to Ocean, where you said that you were in a powerless place when you first began. If it's not too presumptuous to ask, I wanted to ask, are you feeling more empowered now?
I went on this journey with the songs. So they changed me, and the act of writing with them, writing out of this powerless place into a place of surrender to Earth Mother, into a place of her becoming my teacher in a way. And then hearing some of the, I've called it a bit of a sonic elixir, so no different than some people are making something in the kitchen. We were trying to create this something delicious sonically for people that would give them something, not exhaust them, but give them relief, be manna, feed them. And that was what the songs did for me. So I'm hoping that it can do that for other people.
Well, I know it certainly did for me. I think that's a beautiful note to end on, although I could talk to you all day. Tori, thank you so much for especially your music and your time today. It's been such an honor and a pleasure. Thank you so much.
Well, I really enjoy this, I have to tell you, but I really enjoy talking with you. You ask great questions, so thank you.
Oh, thank you. That means so much to hear. I have admired your music, God, since I could hear.
All the best. Thank you. All right.
We hope you enjoyed this episode of Inside the Studio, a production of iHeartRadio. For more episodes of Inside the Studio or other fantastic shows, check out the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to your favorite podcasts.
My name is Ariel. I moved to the U.S. at 19. I spoke no English and I struggled finding job opportunities. Everything I have, I owe to the Adult Literacy Center and getting my high school diploma at age 22.
It was an honor helping you achieve your greatness. Now you're helping others achieve theirs. It inspires me.
When you graduate, they graduate. Find free and supportive adult education centers near you at finishyourdiploma.org. Brought to you by Dollar General Literacy Foundation and the Ad Council.
Listen to the highly anticipated 100th episode of Tank and Jay Valentine's R&B Money Podcast with artist Chris Brown.
Even working with you from Carrie Hilson, Adonis, back in the day, I was 15, 14 doing that album. So like I said, I was in school. Like,
yeah.
Okay, this is how you do it. This is how you make a song. There's a verse, a pre-chorus, and then a hook. I didn't know none of that.
You learned that over a summer, bro.
That's
what it felt like.
Listen to R&B Money on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hi there, I'm Bob Pittman, Chairman and CEO of iHeartMedia. Welcome to Math and Magic, stories from the frontiers of marketing. This week, I'm talking to acclaimed musician and entrepreneur, Pitbull.
I think that education is the real revolution, because as much as we speak about all the problems that there is in society and the world today, my mother's always told me, son, don't worry, the world's always been coming to an end. Don't let it scare you out of living.
Listen to Math and Magic on our very own iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.